This is Dirt and Sprague.
Cheerio, base hit, ball game, Freeland scores, and the Brewers win. They sweep the Dodgers.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
I like the professional rules to be implemented in college. They're getting ready to be pros, so let's go 2 feet in, you know, on the catches. Let's mark the foul if it pass interference. Let's do the same thing the pro game is. Let's reduce it to college.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, hey, hey! Happy Thursday morning, all you beautiful radio listeners. I hope you are having a wonderful start to your day. Luke Anderson filling in for both Dirt and Sprague, and probably half of Jason Swigard. Jay, you're with us in body.
I'm here.
Partly
I'm all here.
In spirit. What time did you get into bed last night after the hops tried to rally?
Yeah, the hops rally. They were looking to actually put a winning streak together because they stopped a stretch of Wednesday. They finally got a win.
Hey there.
And they were 1-17 going into that game. But rally fell short. They left the bases loaded in the ninth and dropped a 7-6 result to the Vancouver Canadiens.
Down one, bases loaded.
Yeah, they had a couple cracks.
Bottom of the ninth.
Yeah.
Playing a Canadian team. Whew. I don't know if that matters, but they are called the Canadiens, which is fun. So
no, that's the hockey team. They're just the Canadiens.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Not to be confused.
No. Come join us. It's our first Hops Honky Tonk tonight. I'm
the Honky
so excited.
Tonk. When are the oat milks playing? You're wearing the
that's
oat
tonight,
milks hat.
Too. Okay. Yes, I believe we are. I am wearing the oat milkers hat. I believe that game is tonight.
Okay. So,
and then tomorrow night, Friday, is one of the Soñadores nights.
Oh.
And then it's Lucha Libre night.
All right. It's swag rolling the arms.
Oh, yes.
Fun times.
Soñadores.
Good time. So you got in bed a little bit late. You came in this morning.
Yeah, so these weeks, you know, early in the weeks, okay, and you're kind of inspired by the win. They needed that desperately. It had been a torturous 3 weeks for them. You feel for them because I've been in the middle of it with some pilot seasons that got lost late in the season.
Is it as dramatic in minor league baseball? Because a lot of those guys are playing for advancement.
Well,
more
you're
than
trying
they
to
are.
Do that.
They want to win,
but when you're in a 1-18 stretch, and you're playing every day, and the mentality, you're just, you know, you get into this like, okay, when's the other shoe going to fall today?
Yeah,
and they're young. I mean, they're all 20 to 23 years old for the most part. So. And that's their lives. They are wrapped up in this more than, you know, I think college athletes. When you're a minor league baseball, this is all you're doing with the hope that you can advance and move up and chase your dream. So yeah, it can get overbearing, I think.
Anybody playing well during this lost season? That
we've had some guys move up to Amarillo. They are sod poodles right now.
Nice.
So, yeah, there's been some call-ups, and, you know, they just had – and it's funny because through the Diamondbacks organization, it kind of – you can go quick.
Yeah. Well, especially when they're about to do a fire sale in Arizona, it feels like.
So it is interesting when you see, I think, the 64th, if I got it correctly from Rich Burke there, 64th different hop made the major leagues last night, Tristan English.
Okay.
Got the start for the Diamondbacks last night in their game.
And how long have you been doing this gig? It's been a while.
This is my seventh year. So obviously the COVID year, there was no minor league baseball. So sixth season. But the number of names that I have announced that are in the major leagues.
64.
Not all of them.
That's all time.
Yeah, I mean,
that's
we're going back to like Dansby Swanson and that sort of stuff. But no, a couple of Mariners, Dom Canzone and Ryan Bliss, were part of a trade.
Canzone is one of the wilder players. He's not terrible.
Yeah.
He's got plenty of major league hits.
Yes.
I don't know what it is. I watch plenty of Mariners games. Never seen the guy get a hit. I've walked away, come back, and he's on base.
He's a feast or famine guy. When he gets on a hot streak, though, ball go far.
Yes, you're correct on those things. But I've walked away for an at bat, and I come back and he's on base, and I've seen highlights of him doing it. Never watched him hit a live base hit to this day. And he's been two and a half seasons with the M's, and I don't know what it is about that guy, but if I'm watching, he's striking out or hitting into a double play or whatever it is. But if I walk away, he gets a base hit. Now I think I just need to do it every time he's at bat. I think that might be the strategy, is just walk away. It's baseball, so superstition. All of it's
all over
in play.
The place. Whatever
it's
superstition,
whatever I
got
to do. So if they're playing in the postseason and he has a chance to win the World Series, I need to leave the room. I can't be there.
Yeah,
and
it's time
I'll miss.
Refresh
I'll miss
your beverage.
The greatest moment in Mariners history.
Restock the charcuterie board. Whatever you got going on at home.
Bottom nine, two outs.
Yep.
Your only hope is Dominic Canzone.
Take the garbage out.
I'm leaving.
Something.
Yep, I'm going. Sorry.
But you need to be within earshot, though, so you can hear, right?
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. I might just need to go into the deprivation chamber. Disappear and have no contact with the game for the good of, the entire franchise. So I'll start doing my part. I'll make a commitment to you. So the fact that you've seen him get a hit, we know it can happen.
Oh, yeah.
You got to call him all the way down with the hops, all the way up through his major league debut. You've been keeping an eye on it. I don't need to.
There you go.
I'll do it for the team.
Exactly.
There you go. All right.
All right. Well, thank you for being in.
Yeah. You accused me of something that was a little bit shocking. You said nobody wings it more than I do.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's a good feeling. It's fun. They asked me, they go, just you and Swag. Is that cool for Thursday? I go, oh, absolutely. We'll kill it. And
you like to explore the space.
Oh, of course I do. Well, you and I get, probably four or five of these shows a year where we get to
usually Thanksgiving, Christmas time, there's going to be a few.
We usually pop in one of these in the summer. So, we get a handful of these.
Exactly.
And then you come in, you're like, oh, man, I'm dragging today.
Yeah, today.
Long hops. But I'm like, oh, boy. So today may be more exploring the space.
That's okay. Well, you're more likely to get, because I like you to keep it buttoned up and doing play-by-play and representing other things.
Sure.
I kind of, I don't want to.
Oh, I'm with you.
You might get hot takey stuff today. I don't know.
Well, here's one of the challenges in the position that I'm in at the moment, which is when you dive in and you're just filling in on shows.
Yeah.
You don't want to take over their essence. I don't want to. I'm not going to try to be Dirt and Sprague this morning.
Who can be?
Well. And if you try to be, then you become a poor facsimile of it, and it's not good for anybody. It's not good for me. It's not good for Dirt and Sprague, because then I'm doing some terrible parody. It's not good for the listeners, because they're going, who's that guy trying to be Dirt and Sprague? It's no fun for you. So, unless I'm doing my own thing, there's no point in me coming in here and going, all right, let's make sure we hit all of these check marks. The other thing is, these shows are a chance for you to stretch out as well.
Oh, yes.
And that... really, the reason when I come in with Jason Swagger. So 7 years with Ops. How long have you been at 1080 The Fan?
We are going on 23 years from when I first started stringing high school football games on Friday nights way back in the day.
Yeah. Friday nights was your start 23 years ago.
That's kind of, I was doing that. And then the great Alan Davis. Who is now running? He's been running the show in Buffalo for our Buffalo station for quite some time. Anyway, yes, they had a part-time position in the promotions department, so I was out there when we used to do like live on location remotes, like four a week.
It was,
handing out T-shirts and keychains.
Well, that's back when they had to send out the little mini satellite.
Exactly,
and the whole engineering team had to do it.
Oh yeah, I did all that.
I have been here long enough that the first couple remotes that I did.
Kevin Wagner was my boss.
Oh yeah,
yes.
Oh, Keeve down in Eugene. I ran into him fairly recently for a golf tournament down at Shadow Hills with our Ducks partnership. So
nice.
Bump into Kevin every once in a while. So that's again. Why am I gonna step on what you do? You don't get all the opportunity. So you went from part time, and now you're essentially the number two.
Yes, assistant brand manager is the new official title.
Man, the switch just a little behind the scenes radio stuff. It used to be the position that led the station was called a program director.
Yes,
which was abbreviated to PD.
Yes,
which was great.
Yes,
and then somebody. Along the Odyssey chain, decided
some big
that,
muckety muck at the Wiener Factory got together with some big muckety muck at the Bun Factory,
and then they decided, no, program director fit everything that they do.
That's too limiting.
We need, the brand extends beyond
The scope of what's on your desk.
So now they are
brand managers.
BMs.
Yes.
Let me go take this to the BM and see what happens. I'm glad I'm not the assistant BM. Being number two. The number two guy is the assistant BM.
Yes.
It's a good position to be in.
And so I'm the executive officer to the captain of this ship.
That is
1080 the Fan.
Yeah. Yep. So so today, I mean, we got plenty to talk about. I mean, for right now, we are only less than 2 months away from the start of the NFL season. We're like 5 weeks from the start of college football season, week zero.
Well, I don't know.
We have double.
Well, in terms of games being played, but you have Big 12 Media Days.
Yes,
Coach Prime, as you heard in the open, pontificating yesterday in Frisco, Texas.
Yeah.
As the Big 12 was wrapping up their show.
Well, we'll definitely talk about what Prime had to say today.
SEC cranks it up with Media Days next week.
2 weeks, we got Big 10.
2 weeks is Big 10.
Are you comfortable with the Big 10 yet? Like, it's still not, like, we're not doing Pac-12. We're doing, it's, are you in Big 10 mode yet?
I understand what it is.
Yeah.
I am nostalgic for the Pac-12, Pac-10, Pac-8.
I'm nostalgic for the Pac-10. I've talked about this many times on these airwaves. The Pac-12 never won anything. Pac-10, football, basketball championships. From 2011, when they switched over and added Utah and Colorado, no championships. So the Pac-12 was the worst conference of all time. Pac-10 was great. Pac-8 was fine. Pac-10. And then they're keeping the Pac-12 because they have 8.5 teams. So smart.
I look at it as that there are still people that haven't gotten over that with Oregon State and Washington State. And I'm like, they needed to put a conference together they're starting over and it's not their fault and it sucks and it doesn't have anything to do.
Totally agree.
Other than with the fact of geography.
Yep. Well, Oregon State, Washington State have a.
Yeah.
Big conference. You had your playoff team last year in Boise State who had a great season.
Yeah.
So you've got some stuff going on, adding Gonzaga for basketball. All of it's good. Don't keep Pac-12 as your name. You don't have 12 teams. Idiots.
We'll see. We'll see what they do.
Hopefully. I think they've said.
I think they have a commissioner that's competent in running operations.
One will find out. My point is, a lot of places to go. A lot of places to go today. We will explore the space. We will get
We have a scheduled guest later in the show.
We do. In studio,
we believe.
In studio, Jeremy Piven, doing stand-up tomorrow night at the Roseland Theater. So he will join us at 8:30. What's that?
I love the Roseland.
It's a great
it's a great venue. I haven't been to something there in a long time. But
tomorrow night, if you want to go.
Unfortunately, it is Sonia Dores night at Hillsborough Ballpark, and I'm needed.
Can you roll that R a little bit harder on that?
Sonia Dores de Hillsborough.
That's what we were looking for. But we're going to start off the show.
In the morning.
How much would you pay to sit courtside for Cooper Flagg and Bronny James tonight? That's where we start things off. It's a Luke and Swag edition of Dirt and Sprague in the Morning on 1080 The Fan. Dirt and Sprague are back on Monday. Tomorrow, you'll get a little taste. It'll be a best of.
Yeah, it'll be a best of tomorrow.
Yeah.
I got more work to do after the show.
Oh, stop complaining.
It will be blazer heavy.
Okay.
As tomorrow night, 8 p.m. against Golden State, we expect to see. Was he wearing number 16? Is that what I saw?
Oh, I didn't see that. I didn't see the number. I don't get caught up in numbers. There's people that very much do in sports, especially in football.
Well, considering this might break all Trailblazer sales jersey records, if you bring China into the factor, that number will be important.
Well, I'm not disagreing. And there's also a lot of number.
Numerology sort of thing.
Yeah, superstitions in the Chinese culture and a lot of superstitions in general. I don't know if you remember when Vegas opened the new MGM Grand and they had the big lion's mouth that you walk through and that was how you got into the casino.
Yes.
And they realized that their Asian visitors would not enter the casino. very, very bad luck. And that's the reason that went away.
That's where many of the whales come from.
Oh, well, there you go. There, there also is a propensity to go and pick your numbers at games of chance. So I don't know if 16 is a lucky number. It's a good number.
Hope it's lucky for Blazer fans, because it's been a long time and this needs to work. So tomorrow night, 8 o'clock.
Well, and you know what it would do too? It would probably shut up everybody that thinks that this is a aimless organization that has no idea what they're doing. If they can hit on a draft pick, especially moving back to add a first round pick, but picking the guy way too early and whatever. So I don't know where the hype machine is, but I kind of live in this world of, it's hard to win at basketball. You have to put together a lot of pieces to get things to work.
True.
And so if you can continue to
hype machine, the Blazer fan hype machine is sitting in neutral.
It very much is. I was going to say stalled out, but neutral.
No, it's not stalled out. It's sitting in neutral, because if Wong comes out and has a couple,
we're going, it's Wong.
Wong Hansen is what I believe it was. There was a press release initially, and the Blazers, that's how the Blazers had it.
So we listened to the Dirt and Sprague back and forth was played just a few minutes ago.
Oh, yeah.
Neither of them said Wong.
I know.
Okay.
That's why it made a great promo. I do this for a living.
You were laughing. You were laughing hysterically behind the glass as that was playing. You know, yes. That's the first time I'd heard that. But yeah, so it's Wong Hansen.
Wong Hansen.
Okay.
Is what I'm going with.
Okay.
Until somebody tells me differently.
Sure.
From the organization.
Gotcha. Okay.
And all right.
I'm sure we'll get an update any day now.
I'm sure we will.
Well, we'll also have the broadcast tomorrow, because that game will be
ESPN2.
What's ESPN2?
ESPN2.
So we'll hear how the broadcasters do it and see if anybody corrects them. It's always
tonight the NBA is planting its flag.
Oh, you were waiting for that, weren't you?
No, I just didn't, you know.
No.
Just came in.
Naturally. Just popped in your head. So the question I asked you before the break.
Yes.
How much would you pay to sit courtside at Thomas and Mack tonight?
Oh.
Not only is it Cooper Flagg, but off to a sizzling start already in Los Angeles. Bronny James.
Well, I have called a Bronny James basketball game, been courtside
West
before.
Schwab Open. So was that where was that play? Was that at?
That was Liberty.
It was Liberty. Okay,
yeah, he was here with Sierra Canyon a few years back. Yep.
I didn't know.
When the documentary crew, this 8-man HBO documentary crew, was following his ass all over the place.
That was Bryce and Bronny both playing
yes,
that game.
They were those,
and remind me who won when they played Westland?
Yeah, that was your Lions.
Yeah, it was. Let's go.
Yeah.
Get out of here. Get out of here, Bronny and Bryce. Anybody from that West?
So that
anybody
is
from that
draw.
Westland team playing in the Summer League this year?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Was Levitt on that team, the Arizona State starting quarterback? Levitt might
you
have been.
You called the game.
I know.
Are you asking me?
I think he was. It's all foggy these days. I'm old. What do you want?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe like a little recollection.
For Cooper, I might shell out $1, $1.50. It is Vegas. Things
for courtside.
For courtside, yeah. I'm not going overboard. What are we getting? Don't tell me we're getting four figures. Is there a comma involved in this?
Oh, there's.
Oh my God! Stop it.
There's
it's still
a
summer
comma.
League.
According to Yahoo Sports, for courtside seats over $3,000. They are citing Vivid Seats, saying the average price is $223 to get in the building. The cheapest ticket's coming in around $85.
Thomas and Mack is a fairly large facility, too. I'm paying $250 to sit in the 300 level. No.
Yeah. Oh, it's $85 to sit in the 300 level. That's your lowest ticket price.
Okay.
$223 is the average price to get in there. So $85 to sit at the back of the Mac.
No, I'd probably see if I was gonna do that, I'd rather spend, you know, $1.50 or something. How close do I get? How fast does it fall down from courtside to 15 rows back to second level?
You know what's funny is the whole time I was in Vegas, never went to a UNLV basketball game. Went to a couple football games.
Yeah.
Been to the Thomas and Mack for a graduation and a couple other events that were not like concerts and stuff, but never went for
I still haven't been to the Thomas and Mack.
Oh, you've never been to the Thomas and Mack?
No.
Yeah.
Well,
because you guys play the Orleans.
We slum it at the Orleans.
Oh, come on. They've got their own bowling alley. They've got some mediocre restaurants.
If that thing was halfway closer to the strip, it's just far enough. Like, if it was like three blocks closer, Where you, because
the Thomas and Mack, you're saying?
No.
Oh, the Orleans.
Orleans was
okay.
Like,
I was going to say the Orleans and Thomas and Mack are almost the same distance from the Strip,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. No, Thomas and Mack's on the other side of
it
the
is.
Airport.
Yeah. And they're both on Tropicana, aren't they?
Yeah, I think
yeah.
so.
Yeah. Jump
so,
on.
Yeah, if the Orleans was like 3 or 4 blocks closer to the Strip,
yeah,
it would be perfect.
But there's an In-N-Out on your way to the Strip, and so if you're stumbling back to the
there's
hotel.
There's a deja vu as well. That's how far off the strip we are.
I forgot you're drowning your sorrows on your way back. Okay. Yeah. One of my favorite shows, maybe ever, was you were supposed to do Golf in the Northwest with the great Harold Bluestein.
Yes.
And you had a bit of a night after the Pilots exited the West Coast Conference tournament. You were down in Orleans.
So all the administration, all the sports administration comes down.
Oh yeah.
So the ticketing people, the marketing people, everybody comes down.
Well, and one of my best friends since four years old is part of the administration.
Exactly.
So we're calling you. We're calling Jason Bro. We're calling everybody that we know with the Pilots, trying to figure out where the hell Swag is. After the night of revelry that was to celebrate the end of the Pilot season, you're like, I'm done. And then it's 8 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday and we're trying to get a hold of you. And we finally get you on the line. I'm like, hey, bud, I can host this show for you. I was in for the center of the set. I got it. And you coughing through that intro. I don't know how many bad cigars I had that night. I don't know if we have that, but that needs to be a drop somewhere.
Hopefully that got burnt. That got lost in transitions from,
one of the absolute best. So in Vegas tonight, if you wanted to go see the great Bronny James and Cooper Flagg in his summer league debut, it's going to cost you $223 to get in. Now my next follow-up question for you is, is that more or less than what it costs to see the debut of one Victor Wembanyama?
I believe it is less. I think Victor's set the all-time mark.
It did?
Yes. It was close to
The
average price, I think, was closer to $300 to get in.
$297.
Yeah.
You got it. Yeah. So a lot more to see Victor Wembanyama. I heard an interesting comparison. You said that you have trouble recollecting who played on that West Lynn team. So I'm gonna take you in the Wayback Machine. But I heard a comparison, and let me know how appropriate this is. Somebody commented that Victor Wembanyama was his comp. Ralph Sampson was the do-it-all, 7'4" with guard skills. I didn't watch.
Yeah. Virginia. He was amazing.
But then he got in the NBA and just kind of, nobody knew what to do with him.
The suggestion was that
he was such a unicorn that they really never figured it out. The Twin Towers didn't end up being what they hoped it would be, but he had a good NBA career. Any chance that Victor Wembanyama ends up becoming Ralph Sampson, or is the ceiling so much higher and the game is so different?
The game's so different. Okay. Back then, if you were 7'4", man, they wanted you in the post, stick your hand up, get position, little hook shot, turnaround. They did not want you roaming outside.
Yeah.
Like, the free throw line was...
That was it. That was the perimeter of where you could go.
You go to those four elbow corners. So I would have loved to seen, Akeem was the one that, and Akeem, when they paired him with him, Akeem actually was quicker, had better footwork at 7 feet tall, had the pull-up jumper. He's one of those guys that you would love to have seen play in this era.
Sure. Well, it sounds like both of those
guys. Could have been. In terms of frame, athleticism, those sorts of things, yes, there's a comparison, but the game was so different.
Yeah.
They just never asked. I think Ralph could have done a lot of those things.
Yeah.
But there was just no reason at that point in time and where the game was to worry about it.
All right. Do you still believe that Victor Wembanyama is a lock to be an all-time from what we've seen so far in his career?
I don't know that it's a lock. I don't know.
That's one of the things is
you can say anything. I mean,
yeah.
But if he's still developing, if he's still, but the level to which he commits himself to the game itself and developing himself and, hopefully the blood clot issue
amen to that,
is a you know, thing that they have solved that won't be a recurring thing that you have to worry about.
I mean, yeah, you worry about injuries derailing a career, but you don't think of something like this where it's, I mean, life-threatening with a blood clot is obviously a dangerous thing. My thing is, it's just the overhype where you get these guys that are so young, Wemby, Cooper Flagg. They act like there's never been a talented guy come into the NBA where it's like, oh, get ready for the league to change. This guy is the real deal. We had it with Zion, who cannot stay healthy.
Exactly.
And now is in a whole world of trouble.
And the guy that changed the league, the last guy to change the league was a scrawny shooting guard from Davidson College.
With ankle problems. Exactly. When he started in the NBA, it was a thought that he would not be healthy enough to do it. So, it's so funny how we project, like, nobody's ever been talented coming into the league. So, here comes Cooper Flagg League. Watch out. Nobody else is trying, so get out of the way.
I don't think Cooper's going to revolutionize anything. I just think he's going to be consistently damn good at everything every night in a Tim Duncan sort of sense.
Okay. Which, if you end up having a career like Tim Duncan's, it's nothing to sneeze at. He gets kind of the afterthought.
Now he'll
role
play. He's
top.
Out on more on the perimeter. Yep. He's a three more than a four. He'll transition a little bit. But I in terms of what he is going to mean and be for a team,
high floor.
Yeah. It's hard not to see him being consistently massively productive at both ends.
Yeah.
Now, does he elevate to another level? We'll wait and see.
That superstar formula is a very tricky one to crack, but if you want to get your first glimpse, I'm looking to see where it is on TV today. Is that ESPN 2?
5 o'clock.
Oh, it's ESPN. 5 o'clock. There you go. Look at you. Always ready to go.
That's right.
So check it out. It'll cost you less than $223 to watch it from home. So enjoy Bronny versus Cooper Flagg. Welcome back. Luke Anderson filling in for Dirt and Sprague. Tomorrow you got a best of Dirt and Sprague, so they will not have a chance to preview your NBA, I'm sorry, Summer League. I guess it is NBA
Summer
League.
It is the NBA Summer
League. NBA Summer League. Yes. Portland Trailblazers Summer League roster going into it. So we'll talk about that in a second. Later in the show, we've got Jeremy Piven coming in studio, 8:30. That'll be the Daily Ticker. We'll probably dive into some forecasting for the NFL. Dion wants basically wants college football to become the pros.
Yeah.
There's a bill being introduced in Congress to figure out the payment. So we'll talk about that all later. But since we're talking Summer League right now,
yes,
I figure we'll stick with that. That way we can just put it in the rearview mirror. But tomorrow night when the Blazers Summer League kicks off, Wong Hansan is going to be making his debut. I'm looking at the rest of the roster. You got Repair. Ryan Rupert, who's played some NBA minutes, and then it's a bunch of undrafted players and pieces from around the NBA. You do have Keyshawn Barthelemy from the Oregon.
From
Ducks.
Oregon, Caleb Love is signed to a two-way deal, so he will be the highlight of the remix.
How do you set up the expectations for Summer League? I mean, I kind of glancing and just looking back, I mean, 2012, Damian Lillard was the Summer League MVP and obviously has made a huge impact in the NBA. But
no, this is the Summer League. It's all about Wong. That's all it is. The rest of it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if they win or lose or whatever. I'm only paying attention. What did Joe Cronin, Schmitz, all those guys, what did they see
that nobody else did,
that apparently very few, if any, other NBA teams did, that caused them to panic at the thought of him slipping any further than 15 or 16, wherever they took him?
16. The general consensus was he was a second round.
He was maybe late first round, but a lot of people had him in the mid-30s, early second round. And I don't know if that was more in deference to he's going to be a project before he's NBA ready, but we like the skill set, but we need to see him grow into things more, or if they didn't think his skill set would translate to the NBA.
Well, the other thing was the athleticism, slow feet, and, you know, kind of the athleticism wasn't at least from what I've read. But then I watched some of the highlights, and you can kind of see, you know, where he's got all the skills that you would need.
And then, so you just want to you know, I want to see him go into his bag and just, okay, what are we shooting, passing, handling, have the ball, off the ball, setting screens, all of it.
So it's all about Wong. That's all you want to see. 20-year-old.
The rest of it, none of those guys, none of those guys should be on the roster.
That's kind of what I was looking at.
Too. Other than, I mean, they have Rupaire.
And then,
and I think you want to see him just knock down open threes. Like if Caleb's driving or there's a pick and roll with Wong and the defense sucks into, you know, overload and help, then, and he's wide open on the wing. Yeah. If you can't knock down catch and shoot wide open threes, which you're going to get in summer league, okay, then we're never going to see you play.
Well, and here's the other question though, is let's say he lights it up. How well do you think that translates to the NBA? I mentioned Damian Lillard, 2012 MVP, 2013 was Jonas Valanciunas, followed by Glenn Rice, Kyle Anderson, Tyus Jones, Lonzo Ball, Josh Hart. I mean, you've got some rotation players, but you don't have all-stars littering this list. Brandon Clark, Davion Mitchell, Cam Thomas, Keegan Murray, Cam Whitmore, and last year was Jalen Wilson from Brooklyn. So there's not guys that jump off the page to me as,
well, usually like, what happens
is it translates what you do in summer league translates to superstardom or stardom or even, you know,
no, because
all-stars.
The top picks like Cooper Flagg, all the hype is over this game. He might only play one or two games
if he flashes,
if they
and looks
see
good.
What they want to see. And okay, now we can't risk him. You know, if he comes out tonight and goes off and has, because the games are shorter too. It's only 10-minute quarters.
Yeah.
So if he has, you know, 19 points and 8 boards and 6 assists and a couple of steals and a couple of blocks in 30 minutes, okay, we got it.
If we see the same thing from Wong Hansan, you do the...
If he has a night like that...
Then he has a phantom shoulder injury. Then, isn't that what they like to do, the shoulder, didn't they do it for Shaden and
Strain
Scoot?
Back.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, his back.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So if he does the same thing, then just like, cool.
No, I think if he does it, I think you're going to be more inclined. Okay, can he do it again? Yeah, can he do it again?
Okay.
So like the top 4 or 5 picks, like Ace Bailey might, he played in a couple. They played the early summer league in Utah there. Like, I think they want to see him. They're looking. The biggest question about Ace Bailey is consistency.
Sure, yeah.
So he can
comes
show
out
up
what
and
he
bring eight, it
18.7 rebounds.
Yeah,
in
his first
his
game
debut.
He didn't shoot it very well. And okay,
well,
it's
I mean 50% field goal shooting. But yeah,
I think for Ace Bailey, him being out there playing consistently every night, can you do that every single night? That's the biggest question with him. Nobody doubts his athleticism, his talents, his skills, all of that. Is are you going to be there every single night for us?
Well, and he was supposed to be a top 3 pick, fell to number 5 with Utah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So that's different. I think nobody questions the motivation and determination and work ethic of one Cooper Flagg.
Yeah.
So, okay, let's get out there.
Let's give the fans what they want.
Give the fans
give them a
what
taste.
They want. Okay, now we're going to wrap you in bubble wrap till October.
we're inserting you into the starting lineup if you can do that right now. So let's just go ahead and start practicing with
exactly.
The team. Let's move you up to the A team. So not a ton of reason to watch, but hey, at least there's something intriguing with the Blazers tomorrow night when they tip off.
Yeah, I'm more interested in this summer league than I've been in quite some time because he is such a mystery. And I want to see if I can see what the Blazers supposedly see in him.
Well, and one of the moves that I think was universally praised that the Blazers did, I think Cronin going from interim to GM left a lot of people kind of turning their heads going, did we do an intensive search? Extending Chauncey Billups has got people's ire up for this offseason. But I think the Mike Schmidt hire was one that people really liked.
Schmidt's
hire was one that people...
Gotta be careful with that one.
I don't think I went that far the wrong direction.
No.
But yeah, Schmitz, the hire of that going, having somebody that can look internationally. I mean, if you were to pick a top 5 NBA starters, you could very easily go Giannis, Jokic, Luka, and just go all international, including Shea, who's Canadian and from there. So having somebody that understands international scouting, I don't think anybody doubted. So here's where the rubber meets the road.
Exactly.
So this is it. Is that... Yeah.
But I swear, if he has a couple of, you know, highlight, real worthy sorts of alley-oop slams, or he, you know, makes a little spin move and drives or something, Blazer Nation will lose their damn minds. Mm-hmm. Like, because we've seen them do it before with Rudy Fernandez and others. And
well, not with this front office.
If he shows you a couple of glimpses of that, yeah, Blazer Nation's going stark mad crazy.
The hype machine sitting in neutral. Let's see if the gas is put on.
We're It'll going go forward, straight into fourth gear.
Or if we hook it back in reverse and go the wrong direction, we'll find out tomorrow night, 8 p.m. ESPN2 is where you can check it out. Or just hop a plane, get down to Vegas. Danny Meringue's doing it, so why not join him? I'm sure he'd love to have you sitting next to him. Dion wants to change all of college football. Congress is doing their part as well. We'll talk about what changes could be in store, but probably not. In college football, we'll do it next. It is Luke and Swag filling in for Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan. It is not Dirt and Sprague. It's Luke and Swag. Tomorrow you get Dirt and Sprague best of. Monday you get Dirt and Sprague in real life.
We will recap from draft night through. It'll be Blazer heavy.
Okay, I dig that.
So, and there'll be a little
the draft
bit,
reaction replay,
yeah,
definitely
there,
worth it. Yeah, through.
You know, and then the Drew Holiday trade and the Ayton buyout and those sorts of things. And then there'll be a little bit of the re-engineered Pac-12.
Worth it. Okay. All right. That'll
be the bulk of the show.
Be a good preview to set up. So the show today, though, we're going to get into some pro football. We have Jeremy Piven join us at 8:30. We'll talk about his stand-up that he's doing tomorrow at the Roseland, kind of see what the transition was for an actor that was around for a very long time.
Yeah.
A very recognizable name to dip into stand-up. He's joined Dirt and Sprague before, so if we could queue up that open, would be ideal for the 8 o'clock hour.
We did.
Jeremy Piven?
I don't remember that.
You've got the open with Wanda Sykes and Piven.
Oh, no, that was Kevin Nealon.
Oh, I don't think it was.
Yeah, it was Kevin Nealon. Mm. Yes.
All right, if you say so. I'll listen back to the voice. Okay. All right, but we'll talk with Jeremy Piven at 8:30, which will be fun. I don't think that was Kevin Nealon, but because I heard it the other day. I was on Monday.
Yeah, no, it's Wanda Sykes and Kevin Nealon.
All right, if you say so, boss. So we'll talk with Jeremy Piven. We'll see what he thinks of Dirt and Sprague's names, and we'll kind of go from there. I've always thought that was that was him doing that. But right now, I want to talk about college football.
Yes.
So we've got two things that are going on. One, in Congress, they are going, let me find the House is planning as soon as today to amend the SCORE Act. So this is the bill that allowed for name, image and likeness to prevail. Now they're trying to put restraints on that. I don't have all the details and trying to find it's a little bit murky.
But I will say something that is federal. The biggest problem is just every state coming up and different states have different levels of interest in supporting their big state institutions' athletic departments, and some of them making it more favorable. And a uniform guideline is very much needed, so that one, all the programs are operating under the same basic set of rules. And secondarily, if it is a way to keep all of the class action lawsuits from going on, because that is what most institutions fear most is losing another giant lawsuit. And, you know, with this settlement, the House case, that is not the House of Representatives, but they're going to pay out, you know, nearly $3 billion in.
Well, what they're trying to do, I mean,
they're just trying to stop the lawsuits moving forward.
Yeah, so this is coming from Chairman, what's his name? Brett Guthrie is the chairman of the House Committee on Energy and Commerce. And they are looking at, and what it says on the energycommerce.house.gov website is they're trying to stabilize name, image, and likeness marketplace and strengthen college athletics. As you read on, it sounds like they're trying to protect the schools,
of course,
from themselves. Is really
they have a lobby.
Yeah, is what they're trying to do.
There's going to be. Here's the thing.
Ultimately, you opened up Pandora's box.
They did open up Pandora's box.
All of a sudden, they realize that they've created a monster. Now, all of this was happening. It's very much like the gambling. It was happening behind the scenes.
Right.
It was something that was legal between friends, but you couldn't bet in states
and
outside.
And
they opened
and
up
somehow,
and they went, oh, people really are into this.
The moral taboo nature of it had ceased in society.
Yep, exactly.
Nobody cared anymore.
Yep.
It wasn't, yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't seedy.
No. And then it opens it up and it absolutely goes bonkers where people are, you know, just first FanDuel and DraftKings explode. They figured out a way to monetize it almost immediately. Same thing happened with NIL, which is going, oh, turns out a lot of people wanted their college football teams to be good. And the money just started flowing into especially men's college basketball and college football and then the rest of college sports. So what they're doing is trying to curtail it the best that they can.
But I think they're also
it's going to be very hard to put this toothpaste back in the tube.
Too far out of control, though. I think the other big risk is the Olympic sports starting to get eliminated. And
well, Title IX is a big concern.
So
that will be violated,
you know,
continuously.
In terms of what we talk about in interest and those sorts of things, are we going to talk about, you know, crew and wrestling and those sorts of things on the show? No, but you're taking away opportunities for deserving student athletes.
Yeah.
Simply for greed. And I'm not down with that.
Yeah. Well, this is something to keep an eye on. Congress is working on it. So don't worry. If you're worried about NIL getting out of control, Congress has got you covered.
NCAA and the
if
U.S.
If you really
want
to fix college football, Dion has the idea.
Oh, okay.
And we do have some sound. We'll talk about that in hour two. We'll dip into some NFL and plenty more on a Luke and Swag edition of Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.